Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD To The Point and WFYI.org. Hello, film lovers. We're switching things up today.
Yes, we are.
We can't explain why. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@wfyi.org, also on Facebook, also on Twitter at Matthew Soci. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes, and we have a blog, which someday will be updated at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
We apologize for those that want to hear want to hear Curtis Mayfield or Bobby Womack, for that matter.
I'm working on something.
That's quite all right. The voice you heard over there, that's Kobe Slagle.
Yep.
And joining us in studio, the independent critic, the man with the power, the man too sweet to be sour, or as I referred to him, Steel on Wheels, that's Richard
Yes! The legend.
He's returned. And apparently I picked the right week to bring him in, because there was a film opening we didn't know about until minutes ago, and it's perfect.
I am so bummed that I didn't get the chance to check this out. It is called Barefoot.
The show practically writes itself, folks. Yeah, Evan Rachel Wood and Scott Speedman. I don't think it's a Richard Probe story.
I don't think it is. Wood plays my girlfriend.
I would say, who hasn't? No. I think Marilyn Manson also played Evan Rachel Wood's girlfriend. No.
Wow. Okay.
But yeah. So yeah, I could tell because sitting very close, you are Scott Speedman's stunt double.
I am. Can you tell?
Yep.
I'm basically footless Scott Speedman.
Not footloose. So, see, we can't play the intro, so it's Richard's intro, so we're just getting into the bad foot puns now.
Yeah, man, I'm looking for stuff.
That's really okay. I hear Blackula.
Yeah, so we have audio rolling now. I just gotta find some things.
We have Film Sociology's weekly input of 70s blaxploitation music, so yeah. We're okay. We'll do the best we can. How are you, Richard?
As long as I know how to love, I will survive.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much.
Tell me that's not as good as Red Clay. Because that's a great album. Opening in theaters, yeah, Barefoot. That's the big, sadly, we didn't know about it. Screened for us, so.
Only showing at AMC Showplace 17.
That happens sometimes. Because sometimes, most of the time, if a film in Indianapolis opens in one screen, it's usually the Art House.
Yeah.
But apparently the art house is booked.
The outhouse?
Yeah, the outhouse. But occasionally something like this where it's not a blockbuster. It's not opening up on multi-screens throughout Indianapolis. It gets one screen, and it's at AMC 17.
And you always worry it's a roadside attractions film, and when their quote is from theexaminer.com. That's just never a good sign when that's the only critic who compliments your film.
A funny and charming love story. Kobe. I know you're working feverishly over there. Mm-hmm. Can you give us a lowdown on Barefoot? Maybe go to IMDb, because if you look in the Indianapolis Star and Nouveau, there's ads for Barefoot, but there's no little synopsis, even though it's not reviewed. You know, it's not reviewed, but there is no information on it whatsoever.
No, not even under new movies.
Exactly. So it's kind of coming in under the radar with an ad. It's hoping for that Evan Rachel Wood, Scott Speedman fan base money.
All four of them.
But not on all fours.
3 minutes in and the hate has already unleashed itself.
What do we got over there, Mr. Slagle? According to IMDb.
What do you want to know?
The synopsis. What is this? What is
What's
Barefoot
it about?
It is not the Richard Probst story.
Is it about feet?
And it's not a film. It's not a film where Richard Probst is frolicking with Evan Rachel Wood.
I'm going to be in a sequel, No Foot.
Oh, God.
Thank you.
What do we got?
The black sheep, in quotes, son of a wealthy family meets a young psychiatric patient who's been raised in isolation her entire life. He takes the naive young woman home for his brother's wedding.
That seems to fit Evan Rachel Wood.
And
is
I can
like
see why that's I can
or?
See why that's not screened for press.
Oh wow!
Anybody else in it of note, Mr. Slagle?
Let's see here as we scroll on down.
Because Endless Love opened last week. Now that doesn't have psychological behavior problems, I don't think.
Unless you've actually seen the film.
Well, if you torch a... Well, I said about the original. If you torch a house over Brooke Shields, you do have problems.
Anybody know Treat Williams?
Yes!
Yes!
Treat Williams. Not personally, but yes. Treat Williams. He's from our generation, Mr.
Okay.
Slagle.
Different time. Yeah. Kate Burton, J.K. Simmons, J. Omar
J.K.
Castro.
Simmons!
He
our
rocks.
Guy! That's our guy!
I love him.
Come on, you know him. He's the We Are Farmers and J. Jonah Jameson.
Yes,
Judah,
thank
Juno's
you for
dad.
Smoking.
Thank you for smoking.
I
absolutely.
Am going to see this now.
Now you're going to see it. Not because of Evan Rachel Wood.
I'm leaving here and going to see it.
Because of J.K. Simmons.
Exactly.
Way to go. Way, thank you, J.K.
And the fact that it's called Barefoot.
You just and do you get the reactions when at the box office?
I
did
don't.
You do that for when you saw The Sitter? Paul McCartney hums.
Wow.
No?
No. A little bit with Footloose, though.
Did you really?
I did, yeah.
See, this is like Abdul when he would go and want to see a horror movie and it's the opening the same weekend as a Tyler Perry movie. He told the story once that he was in line and there were other African Americans in line in front of him and they were all going to see Madea, and the person behind the counter said Madea and he went, no, Friday the 13th.
Woo!
He didn't do that. Mrs. Shabazz.
Madea would
do
have
that,
done
but,
that.
So he, and of course, I remember renting a Madea movie because I had to review it for this show, and the pimply faced 15-year-old white kid behind the counter gave it a double look, and I called him out on it. Because that's what we do here at NPR, insensitive video store clerks.
But wow. He's unemployed now.
Yeah, he is. He is. He's that shop is long gone. So, okay, so yeah, Barefoot. I love the fact that the big news of the show is Barefoot. We haven't seen it yet because Richard Probst
is here. And neither
one
of us is actually reviewing the film. We're
just
talking about it.
We're riffing on it.
I love
apparently.
That.
It's like Joel and the Bots. Okay, also opening today, Kobe, we have to warn you, the period piece drama In Secret. I'm sorry, how'd that go again? That's a new sound reaction right there.
You know what it actually proves, though?
What's that?
Jessica Lange is still alive.
Well, she's been doing a lot of TV. She's doing American Horror Story. Horror Story.
Yeah, same difference. Okay.
No, it's, witches won't like you. But yes, this is, according to the description in Nouveau, a repressed French lady played by Elizabeth Olsen, who, in a loveless marriage, who finds Oscar Isaac's character rather alluring. And a buddy of mine, fellow film critic Jeff Marker of the Gainesville Times, saw this and said it was very dull.
Really?
Yeah. And not enough steaminess for a French affair movie.
More dull than Inside Llewyn Davis.
Oh, come on. You didn't like Inside Llewyn Davis.
Does Oscar Isaac actually manage to show an emotion now?
He wanders around with a cat under his arm. Hi, Elizabeth Olsen. And yeah, Jessica Lange's in it as well. So anyway, Cope, we won't tell Bianca about this movie if you won't.
I won't say nothing.
Okay, good. So opening in theaters, I will let Richard start because he's already started. But you, we were talking.
I'm in the mood for hate anyway.
Well, apparently you claim that the movie industry hates us, the film press, because they gave us two films, one directed by Paul W.S. Anderson and the other directed by McGee in the same day.
That is just cruel. I mean, I want to know what we have done to deserve that.
Well, probably hate on some of their films. But the only thing missing, like you said, is M. Night Shyamalan or Tyler Perry.
Oh, wow.
Or a Dennis Dugan picture. So you actually sat through Pompeii. Now, of course, Paul W.S. Anderson is not Boogie Nights, the master.
It is Paul Thomas Anderson.
Paul W.S. Anderson, of course, gave us the Resident Evil series and Death Race and Soldier and
Three Musketeers.
Oh, gosh, that was you, boy.
In other words, he can't direct, and yet he keeps getting these budgets.
Because people who don't listen to this show go to see it in droves, apparently.
Wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me there are people who don't listen to this show?
Sadly, I'm afraid I'm going to burst your bubble. And the Easter Bunny's not here either.
Wow.
So tell us about the 3D disaster movie Pompeii.
If you don't know what this
Wait,
film
you
is,
saw this in 3D.
I did see this in 3D. Okay.
Necessary in 3D?
No.
Okay.
It's not necessary in 2D. But
that's what I was about to, yeah, okay.
Plunk down that extra $4.
I called it Poopay. Thank you. That is my summary.
Wait a minute, it's French fries and gravy with cheese?
That's something
Wow.
else.
That's something else?
That's something else.
Oh, sorry, Jolene Katzenberger. You know I'm just kidding. not good, huh?
No, it's not. It is the I'll read the star's description. It's the epic story set in 79 AD of a slave turned invincible gladiator played by Kit Harington, who I'm pretty sure has never expressed an emotion.
Ever. Could you look up Mr. Harrington's page, please?
I want to know what else he's been
Kip?
In.
Kit. K-I-T.
Kit.
Really?
And one R.
Now that's
Harrington.
That's a movie star name.
Kit Harington. Here we go.
He kind of looks like Orlando Bloom.
Yes, he does.
He's cheaper than Orlando Bloom.
That's what he looks like.
thank you.
What did Kit do to earn the starring role in Pompeii?
You know, I don't know. Game of Thrones, pretty much, it looks like.
Okay.
And Silent Hill Revelation.
Ooh.
Wow.
Got more stuff coming.
Oh, really? In development?
Mm-hmm.
What, Pompeii 2?
Completed and post-production. Still Pompeii.
More Pompeii-er.
It's dunked the first time, so we're going to destroy it again.
So I've never watched Game of Thrones. It's not a slight on it. I just have other things
to
do.
I've never watched it.
So, and it's out on DVD this week, which we'll get to a little later on.
I will assume he is not the best part of Game of Thrones.
I always hear Peter Dinklage is the best thing about Game of Thrones.
I love Peter Dinklage.
I do, too. He should star in Pompeii.
I think so.
So we've now decided he should star in more action movies and more animated features should have vocals by Werner Herzog.
Every animated movie
film
should have
vocals by Werner Herzog. And Werner Herzog should be the one, and Peter Dinklage, they should be the guys getting 15 to 20 million a picture.
Thank you.
All right, so there.
We're established.
Welcome to If We Ruled the World. First off, you guys would be okay.
You guys are cool.
You guys bleep you. You're cool. Bleep you. Emma saw that clip. She's now doing that around the house.
Wow.
Unfortunately, mom and dad got the you're cool status.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So is it trying to be 300 or 300-esque?
That's kind of what it looks like. Is it 300 meets Titanic?
It is 300. Titanic is a great version because, of course, they throw in a love story.
That's we the guitar riff that would be in the trailer.
We have him falling in love with Emily Browning, who is the daughter of a wealthy merchant.
The character, not the actor.
Yes, I don't care.
You don't care.
You know.
Richard's reviews brought to you by Haterade. Haterade Plus.
They're just between them. Okay, first of all, you have this central romance. You know, you have this forbidden somewhat central romance. They spend maybe 10 minutes with each other before the climactic scenes start to happen, where he's willing to risk his life to try to save this woman as Pompeii, gets struck by Mount Vesuvius, which, if you don't know, really happened, folks. Okay.
But not like it did in this movie.
Not like it did. Oh, well, you know, I wasn't there. I don't
now,
know.
Doesn't he have a sidekick who's not Jimon Hounsou?
You know, I have always wanted to learn how to say that guy's name.
Jimon Hounsou.
Well, no, not that. It's not him.
It's not. That's what I mean. Not Jimon Hounsou.
Not it.
Also,
yes.
Jimon Hounsou, too expensive.
I could say that.
Or as The Onion once put, Jimon Hounsou to play every African in every movie ever made.
They actually start out as rivals. They are rival
it's
gladiator.
It's a buddy gladiator movie.
Exactly.
So you have Titanic, 348 hours.
Thank you very much.
Or Lethal Weapon.
And none of the angles actually work.
Whew, man.
I mean, it's a boring film. It's bland. A lot of the scenes are done at night, especially once the volcano starts exploding.
Right.
Because, of course, it blocks the sun.
Yes.
So we know 3D is awesome.
But in the
dark.
And of course, 3D films in general are a little bit darker than 2D films as far as the
exactly.
look. And especially if this is not a reflection on where Richard saw this movie, but there's a lot of projectionists that just not quite getting
projectionists.
It. Yeah, not quite getting it. So
those working the projector.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't recall talking to anyone who actually liked it. I talked to one person who didn't hate it.
that's in the file. If this works. Now, wait. The other thing is this film usually has something like this. There is one named actor that usually gets an and credit. Isn't Kiefer Sutherland in
this? Kiefer Sutherland. Has he? I was trying to think of this earlier. Has he ever made a good film?
On his own? You mean like him carrying a film?
Yes. I mean, not that he really carries this. He is.
No, he's the and. Because isn't he, let me guess, is he a lord?
He is a, well, initially he's a soldier who wipes out the rebel Celts, mm-hmm. which is the family of this gladiator. And then he becomes a Roman senator.
And I bet he's corrupt. Like his dad.
No!
No! No! So he's gonna become president, and he's still Canadian.
Well, you know, he shows up to Pompeii because they are trying to get Rome to invest in their city, mm-hmm. and he thinks that he can go in there and invest and become more powerful.
Of course,
and he's got a crush on this Emily Browning.
Well, who wouldn't, really?
I wouldn't.
Okay, you're waiting for Ever Rachel Wood.
I require emotions for anyone that I date.
I see,
at least one.
Okay. You know what, Cope? Get to Kiefer's page. I'm starting to think Flatliners. Remember Flatliners?
I do remember
Lost Boys.
That's true.
There wasn't like, but I mean, that's more of an ensemble. When I think of like a starring vehicle for Kiefer, I think of like Mirrors, which was bad, and The Sentinel, where he's chasing Michael Douglas.
Yeah,
that was kind of bad.
And yet he's proven on television he can act.
And of course he's going back to 24. So.
So it's like
he doesn't scream or else innocent people will die.
Did he read the script before he signed up for
it? I bet he read the check when he got it. That's the old Michael Caine trick.
Oh, man. I actually thought of Michael Caine in this.
He could have done this 20 years ago.
It was kind of a Michael Caine style performance. I felt like he was trying out for the Jaws 4 remake.
Oh, boy. But is it fun to watch him be a scenery chewer?
He was so disinterested in the film that, I mean, he just, there was no passion. There were some that were kind of fun.
Okay,
to watch.
But not enough to plunk down.
Not enough to plunk down. And every time you kind of got interested in a character, they didn't survive anyway. So who cared?
Wow. And you went to an advanced screening of this?
I did.
This feels like the thing I would see at like 10 a.m. today. was it full?
I'm so grateful I didn't pay for this.
I'm glad you. That's on there too. We got. Richard, you just gave us three reactions in one show, in one review. Awesome.
Wow.
Phenomenal.
He's in a lot of video games.
Who, Kiefer?
Kiefer, yeah.
So that's where some of the money's going. That's good.
What, Space Invaders?
Don't give him any ideas. Don't
Melancholia.
Yeah, I like Melancholia, and I know a lot of people don't. The Lars von Trier
I did like that.
End of the World.
He's in that? Yeah, he is in that.
But he's not carrying it. He's a part
that's
of
the
ensemble.
He was a voice in Monsters vs. Aliens.
He was fun in that.
Mirrors.
That was bad. That was part of my bad movie ritual with my buddy Laura up in Chicago. It was kind of boring too, which is even
River
worse.
Queen?
I don't know that.
Taking Lives?
Oh, yeah.
Vaguely remember that.
2004.
Angelina Jolie, Ethan Hawke.
Oh, hate her.
Yes. It was bad. What else?
Let's see. Paradise Found, 2003. Behind the Red Door, Phone Booth.
He was the voice in Phone Booth. There was a big hullabaloo. Yes, and shindig, because of the fact that the voice of Kiefer Sutherland did not sound like it was through a phone. Remember, because that's the voice that's terrorizing Colin Farrell, and it wasn't. And now that I think about it, I don't think that was a bad choice. If you had to hear if the second biggest character in your film is a voice, do you want it to sound like it's going through a phone the entire time?
No.
So I'm all right with that.
I didn't really want to watch the film the whole time either.
You didn't like it?
Yeah, you know.
Phone booths are not your friend.
Let's face it, Colin Farrell has about as good movie selection as Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh, but he was the best thing about Mr. Banks.
It was the best thing about Winter's Tale, too, but it still stunk.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, Ed's review in this week's Nouveau, not good either. You didn't like that either?
No.
So, Kobe, you can tell Fair Sweet Bianca that Richard says your grumpy cat mug.
I don't think Bianca cares about my opinion. She gives me this.
Have you done a show with Fair Sweet Bianca?
She's been in here before when I've done the show.
Okay.
She gives me this look like, you know, you do realize you're completely irrelevant and you're lucky I even acknowledge you in the room.
He's obnoxious.
No. That's not what a
Wow. Okay, so.
Shall we continue down the line here with Kiefer Sutherland?
No,
or
I don't.
Is
I think
this
we,
pretty much a wrap
I think
on
that's
here.
A wrap on that. So pretty worthless.
I gave it a D. I gave it a D.
A D.
So, okay. Yeah, pretty worthless. So
some of the closing action sequences were pretty good. And I hated the people of Pompeii so much, I was thrilled to see them die.
Wow. Man, that's not...
So that deserves one star right there.
Okay.
Okay.
Or D. So there you go, folks. Well, while Richard got to see the latest Paul W.S. Anderson epic, and thank God he did, I got to see the latest action epic from McGee.
Wow.
The gentleman who gave us Charlie's Angel, both Charlie's Angels. And actually, you know what? There is one film of his I do like, We Are Marshall.
We are Marshall.
No, we're not, but...
Okay.
But and at that time, Matthew McConaughey's best performance.
Yeah, which at that time wasn't saying much, but
wasn't saying much, but still. So we have a film called 3 Days to Kill with Kevin Costner. And by the way, Costner's on a hot streak lately. Well, maybe not a hot streak, but he's been visible. He was in the Jack Ryan film that was out last month. And he's got a film coming out in April that's about the draft. Sports draft.
Draft day.
Oh, Million Dollar.
No. That's John Hamm. That's Million Dollar.
The
film about basketball.
No, it's the NFL draft.
The NFL draft.
Yeah.
Draft day.
That's right.
Yes, draft day.
So that's coming up. So it's nice to see Kev's not doing the state fair circuit like he was last summer. He's back in theaters. And this is a film where he's an aging international spy, an assassin, and it's based on an original story.
And he wants to spend time with his
I didn't know Hollywood
family.
Did those he anymore. Does.
Well, it's based on an original story by Luc Besson.
Oh, okay.
What a letdown.
I was going to say, we know Hollywood does those.
But it's shot mostly in Paris. Oh, he also did Terminator Salvation. Remember, this is the guy Christian Bale is yelling at that he doesn't want the guy on the set anymore. He wasn't yelling at McGee, but he was yelling at the link.
Besson does his scripts in crayon.
Maybe.
Okay.
He's also he also brought in the 5-year-old that wrote the Fast and Furious screenplay. Thank you, The Onion. But anyway, he's an assassin who's kind of in the twilight of his career, and he wants to spend more time with his daughter, played by Academy Award nominee Hailee Steinfeld, and his ex-wife, played by film sociology guest Connie Nielsen.
Wow.
Hi, Connie.
Because she is listening right now.
No, she's not. Just like we,
I was willing to let you have that delusion.
No, I'm okay. We were talking last week. I don't think Robert Irvine's calling up Gail, his wife Gail Kim, saying, "Honey, turn on WFYI.org. The guys are on." I would love for that to happen. It's not. But but by the way, hello Fort Myers and California. Mm-hmm. So he's trying to spend more time with his teenage daughter and reconcile with his wife, but a mysterious spy played by Amber Heard.
Ooh, isn't that Johnny Depp's new fiance?
I don't care. Kobe, Google image. She's not old or vintage, but...
Amber Heard?
Yes, but she has she has different hairstyles and costumes because she's mysterious with my hands waving in the air.
Ooh. Wow.
And she brings him in to do one sort of last job. But it's not entirely the last job story. It's if you imagine... Luc Besson's the professional mixed with DOA because he's dying. He's got a disease, but Amber has this experimental drug that will keep him living longer, so she can have him do more hit jobs and spend more time with his family.
That's sweet.
It is sweet, sort of. Oh, and he's an assassin, of course.
Why did you get the warm and fuzzy film this week?
I don't know. It just happened that way. The part where the assassin's trying to reconcile with his family is actually kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. And then it turns into dumb action movie directed by McGee with, you know, car chases and speeding and shootings, and it's done.
Who is this McGee?
He directed the Charlie's Angels movies. He directed – you didn't see that?
No.
No, it's okay. He directed Terminator Salvation.
And he just goes by McGee?
He has a real name, but we don't remember it one name directors, of course, you just want to punch in the face.
You wonder what he was on when he actually thought about, this is going to be my
And I think he
name.
Shot, obviously, I'm going to guess, he shot videos before features.
You think?
I'm guessing. I'm just guessing. So the family part's pretty cool. But there's a few holes in those scripts. And then we get bang 'em, shoot 'em up. I will say this, and this is not a spoiler alert. The way it's presented, of course, in the trailer, I'm really happy that the family is not used as a bargaining chip. I was wondering about that, seeing Hailee Steinfeld and Connie Nielsen. Hello, ladies. But
who would really bargain for Hailee Steinfeld?
The people that watched the
last
version of...
I go to a flea market and maybe give 37 cents.
Oh, that's terrible. She was a highlight of True Grit. Of course, she did the Romeo and Juliet.
I was going to say, did you see Romeo and Juliet?
You mean Julian Fellowes rewriting Romeo and Juliet?
It was bloody awful.
I did.
And she was bloody awful in it.
Well, but she's closer to age. And of course the moments that I did like, they do push it a little bit as far as schmaltz and you know, dad daughter relations. Mm-hmm. They get a little schmaltz. You know, the use of music by Bread, which I don't really wish upon anybody ever.
Wow.
That's in here. So I wanted to like it more than I did. It's not, I guess to use the term from Chris Lloyd, it's not hella bad, but it's frustrating.
I'm not going to rush out to see it.
You're not?
I'm not.
No, you got Barefoot ahead of you.
I'm going to Barefoot tonight. I might see this tomorrow.
Okay. And to recap, you were not crazy about Winter's Tale, which is not the play that's going on here.
I like it.
Unlike it?
No, I do like
you
it.
You did like Winter's Tale.
The play, not the movie.
Not the Colin Farrell movie with the Downton Abbey lady.
No, it's awful.
Okay. What made?
I gave it 1.5 stars.
What made it awful?
Colin Farrell?
It's time travel and it's love and squishy stuff and
It was disjointed. The dialogue was really horrible. It didn't make a lot of sense. The acting was silly. Some of the special effects were just mind-numbingly bad. Other than that, it was okay.
There you go. Mr. Slagle, did you look up Amber Heard?
Yeah.
You all right there?
Yeah. No, I've moved on.
Oh, you moved? Okay.
He's over Amber.
She's 2010 pretty.
Johnny Depp likes her.
Well, get in line, really. So, all right. So, you know what? Thin week. So, I guess now there is some good news.
What's the good news?
Well, the Oscar-nominated shorts are still in town.
They are. That's
so
rare.
Because usually they're 1 week and then they're out of here. But if you haven't seen the Oscar-nominated live-action or animated shorts, they are still happening up at Keystone, at Landmark Keystone. So go check that out. They're really worth it. Even the weakest of the lot, it's better than what we've been talking about.
Absolutely.
So by far. So go check those
out.
It's
a little experimental, but, you know, go out there. I mean,
take a chance.
You're going to see up-and-coming filmmakers making good quality films.
Exactly. And you do you know anything about it? You could look it up if you want, but it's this weird dynamic because us as members of the IFJA, we are fierce.
Yes.
We know a lot. It takes a lot for us to walk into a theater and not know
it
anything.
It takes a lot for me to walk into a theater.
There it is, folks. There
yes,
it is.
Thank
you. You see, Gina, I can do it too.
Sorry.
Paul McCartney.
I could not ignore that.
No, of course not. Okay. Well, we don't expect you to. It's one thing for us to enter a theater, smart guy, and know absolutely nothing about a film. It's rare. If it maybe happens to...
That's why we're so surprised about Barefoot.
Yes, exactly.
It was not on our radar.
So if we knew, two, maybe three titles a year where I'll know nothing going in. So that's kind of the case with the Oscar-nominated shorts. Of the animated and live action, the one Disney one, the one that was the opener for Frozen, was the only one I knew anything about. Mm-hmm. So anyway, go.
And a lot of you have seen it because it was in front of Frozen.
So go check out the shorts in February. Mr. Slagle,
mm-hmm.
How are things at your alma? And by the way, big kudos to John Vickers and the gang at IU Cinema this week to pull off a 24-hour Philip Seymour Hoffman marathon.
Really?
For free.
Aww.
We had him on the show last week.
Philip Seymour Hoffman?
No. Now that would be an exclusive. You know what? That would be a pledge
show.
Was
it too early for a joke, Kobe?
No. I will say here at Film Sociology, I don't believe in the concept too soon.
Okay, good.
And with some people.
You wouldn't keep inviting me back.
No.
Okay.
And for some people, not soon enough.
Thank you.
That's not the case with Philip. But the fact that IU Cinema was able to, from the time of the announcement of his death, it took them 5 days to get prints. They got prints of films from LA. To do for this festival.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So, yeah, it was very, very impressive.
And they did
impressive.
It for free.
They did it for free.
That's pretty astounding.
So kudos to John
you
and
rock,
the gang.
IU Cinema.
And yep. We're hoping to have John and company live in studio sometime. We'll let you know, Richard.
Okay.
But anyway.
I'll have my Barefoot review ready.
I bet you will. Now there's a festival, the Richard Probst Foot Film Festival at IU Cinema.
Yes!
Oh my gosh. Okay, now John's not coming on. so, Kobe, what's happening at IU Cinema?
This weekend, tonight, Friday, February 21st, 6:30 p.m., we have News from Home from 1976. Do you know it? Documentary.
War film? No, Soldiers? I'm not sure. You got us on that
one. It sounds familiar.
See, the IFJA gives off the aura that we know everything. We don't.
That is
between us, we do.
Okay.
That is part of IU Cinema's Underground Film Series. That's at 6:30. Then tonight at 9:30 in the International Art House Series from 2011, we have Almayer's Folly.
Okay.
Do you know it?
Do not.
I've heard of it.
Saturday, 3 o'clock from 1922, The Smiling Madame Budet.
Wow. Not Budet.
No.
It's a different story.
No.
We're not going to talk about it. No.
And
that's not what you said.
Continuing for the second week, IU Cinema, 7 o'clock Saturday night in the South Asian Gangster Film Series, Gangs of Wasseypur Part 1.
Wow. We got a road trip.
I think McG directed that.
No, he didn't. No, he would make the remake. He'd make the dumbed down studio
it
remake.
It stars
of
Adam
that.
Sandler.
It does not star Adam Sandler. Stop fooling the audience.
I would not lie to your audience.
Thank you.
Ever.
Thank you. Would I lie to you?
Then running out the weekend at IU Cinema, Sunday, 3 o'clock from 1936, Rembrandt. And then again, 6:30, Almayer's Folly.
All right. So also tonight at 7 o'clock at the IMA as part of their Winter Nights series from 1914, Tilly's Punctured Romance, where Charles Chaplin, according to Nouveau, plays a greedy scoundrel miles away from his tramp character. And this is considered to be the world's first feature-length comedy. And it's in 35mm, 7
very
o'clock.
Good. I have seen it.
You have seen this
I
one.
I have seen it.
So
this is big Chaplin
pre-Tramp, obviously.
Pre-Tramp.
So yeah. There you go. So that is a part of, because I know the rest of the series are silent films. And except for, No. That's not what I said. Do you have Big Daddy around here? No, because I think.
No. That's not what I said.
No, I think they're showing Totoro. We were talking about Miyazaki.
Really?
I think they're because Emma really, really wants to go. It's on the 15th.
Oh.
So, but I don't think that's part of the winter film series. But I know the rest of the winter film series are silent movies. While we're in the plug department, March 7th and 8th, 14th and 15th, 7:30 p.m. each night with a 3 p.m. matinee on March 15th at Scottish Rite Cathedral.
What is it?
Yours truly is directing the 1940s comedy Born Yesterday.
Wow.
The original movie had Judy Holliday, who won Best Actress for that performance, Broderick Crawford, and William Holden. And it is it's a story of a businessman, a wealthy businessman with shady practices of business, played by Broderick Crawford. And he has a not-too-bright girlfriend who signs a lot of contracts, played by Judy Holliday. And he decides to hire a newspaper reporter to tutor his girlfriend, and that's played by William Holden. And don't you wish all journalists look like William Holden? And of course, there was a god-awful remake in the early 90s with John Goodman, Melanie Griffith, and Don Johnson.
It was awful.
We don't talk about that film.
Wow.
I reprimand my actors when they bring it up.
So was it a movie first or a stage?
It was a play first.
Okay.
Judy Holliday did the show on Broadway.
Okay.
Then did the movie and got Best Actress for it. So it's a fun play. It's you got a little love triangle. You also have a lot of jokes about politicians getting in good or getting in bad with big business, and some of the dialogue still relevant today. Not bad for a 60, almost 70-year-old play.
Sounds great. I'll be there.
Great. There's floor seating.
No.
If you read Richard Probst, this is actually really good. A lot of Richard's postings are about where he has dinner and where he can and cannot have dinner.
I do. I have a blog that I don't think I've ever mentioned on here.
You should mention it since you're here.
It is called The Gimp Goes Shopping.
This is not the guy in Pulp Fiction, folks.
It is about, basically, it's a customer service blog with a disability angle. So, and one of the big things I look at is accessibility issues. And I've been having a lot of miserable fun this winter.
Miserable? That's your autobiography.
that's my love life.
Miserable fun. The Richard Probst story.
Oh, wow.
Played by Scott Speedman. So you go to, you know, you have a hankering for something, and then you go to that restaurant, and it may not be.
And it may not be. And especially, yeah, if something really impresses me or if something honks me off, I'll write about it.
Now, if you can't get in, do you yell from the sidewalk, or do you write a letter? Do you make a phone call?
I typically make a phone call, or I write a blog. I have
and send it to him?
I do send it to him. I've had the mayor's office out to my house 3 times.
Really?
Because of issues in this city. You remember when they came up with the whole trash thing where, you know, the big new 55-gallon containers.
Ah, yes.
That nobody in a wheelchair can handle.
No.
I was not a happy camper.
So you brought it up.
I brought it up. But they got it resolved. You know, that's, you know, our city is actually very responsive. They do monitor social media. So
very good.
Yeah, that's impressive.
See, he's not just a
he's not all hateful.
He's not all haterade. Just when he comes here.
Quit trying to hurt my reputation.
You brought it up.
I am proud of my haterade.
I would say, is there a local establishment that has done good? I guess while we're in a generous mood.
Because we might not be for the next 30 minutes.
Oh, man. I'm trying to think who does really well.
Mm-hmm. And especially now with the winter. So that you got.
It's been rough. I was telling folks, let's see, Sunday I went out to lunch. It took me 7 restaurants to find one that had actually shoveled their wheelchair ramps.
Ooh. Holy cow.
That's not good.
So by the 7th, I was in the mood to write.
Oh, I bet.
So, yeah. And, you know, and there's this tendency to not only do that, but then to plow the snow into the wheelchair spot. Because I think there's this stereotype that we don't get out when it snows.
No.
No.
That's not true. We've seen Richard raising hell in the dead of winter.
Thank you. It's, now, well, yeah.
The theaters, all the theaters we've attended are good, right? I think we're...
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah. Some better than others.
I won't bash any by name.
Because we have to show up there.
Yeah, exactly. There's one or two that struggle a little bit with it.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, some of the bigger ones, they certainly do well. Movie theaters on the whole.
Okay.
So tend to do really well.
It's dollars. It's dollars on wheels.
That's what I tell people. I mean, it's basic. I mean,
the dollars are literally rolling in.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That's Kobe Slagle, ladies and gentlemen.
I am so proud of you.
You are now a man. Married, you're doing the puns.
I made a foot joke at Richard's expense.
Wait, you are coming into the Gimp Hall of Fame.
You got to crawl in. Wow, hate mail in 3.
And again, we will stress, folks, I am a paraplegic. I am a double amputee. So is why I make these jokes.
And to our defense, he started it.
I started
it. We sound like kids.
He did it first.
He did it first. And we were just following him. It's all right. It's okay. We keep trying to get him to go upstairs, but he won't follow us.
Oh, gosh. Let's take a break. We'll talk about what's on DVD and Blu-ray. Get our bearings together. Maybe play more
I have
Big Daddy.
Bearings in my wheels.
You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD To The Point and WFYI.org. We'll be right back.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
Well, in case you didn't see it, here it is again.
Hi there, I'm Claire Robinson, and I'm so excited to be talking to Film Sociology on WFYI in Indianapolis.
Thank you, Kobe. Thank you, Claire. Part of what makes Kobe ill. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, we don't care. Go to msoci@WFYI.org, also on Facebook, also on Twitter, @MatthewSoci. Kobe Slagle's hanging out with me, along with Richard Probst, the independent critic. That is your film blog.
Right.
And then you have another blog, which you finally brought up here, called
The Gimp Goes Shopping.
Which, and not The Gimp Goes West. That's Richard's Western.
I like it.
So, first off, what we talked a little bit about The Gimp. So now what's going on with The Independent Critic? I know you put in your scathing review of Pompeii.
I did put in my scathing review of Pompeii, but I did see one really good film this week.
You did?
Yes.
Now, this is a special kind of thing, because I'm excited about this.
I'm really pumped. Those of you who know the stage show Southern Baptist Sissies.
A mainstay and a staple, I think it feels like, at Theater on the Square.
Exactly.
It was like if it wasn't Corpus Christi, it was Southern Baptist Sissies.
Exactly. I mean, Del Shores has actually come here for the show. He he's very impressed by our production. He actually said that in an interview that I did with him.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, he has filmed a stage version of the play. And it's opening in theaters this week.
But because we're Indianapolis, it'll trickle down
eventually. It may trickle down here. I know. It's even going to play Detroit, and it's not scheduled here yet.
I'm not going to get into the Detroit-Indianapolis argument here.
Oh, come on.
No. Well, you know, we'll play what, no. If we can, we'll play What Makes Kobe Ill later. he's not.
But anyway, I have seen this film. It is a fantastic. He really takes kind of his main cast that he works with frequently.
Now, tell the people what it's about. I know the title should give away some of it, but
it's basically about four young men who grow up in the Southern Baptist Church and the struggles that they have with that, which are fairly intense.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I love about Del Shores is that he finds the humor in everyday life, but he also is very honest, very authentic. He does not hold back. He was the son of a preacher. He is the son of a preacher.
Son of a preacher man.
Exactly.
Hello, Dusty Springfield.
So, you know, the play is just an amazing production to see on stage, and he really does a nice job. He filmed four productions, and I think just kind of took the best of that and put it together, and it's just an incredibly well done.
So, do they have a website? Is there southernbaptistsissies.com? That'll work. Maybe check and see if there's a film website and see if it's coming to your fair city.
Absolutely. So, yeah. I mean,
and so when you say a film play, I think of, you know, is it something that would be like a Fathom event? You know, because remember you could see live operas there. Or Mystery Science, or Riff Tracks, I should say, when they have their performances. And I still have never done a concert. I know they do concert Fathom events.
That would be cool.
Yeah. So
it's usually
stuff you don't listen to.
Well, no, it's usually, you know, it comes out on DVD.
I see. Oh,
a couple months later.
I see. So there's that. And I always remember, you mentioned film plays. I always remember, and I brought this up recently to friends. If you remember the early incarnations of HBO, they filmed play performances.
Yep.
And this was back when I was in my single to early double digits and I didn't have a driver's license, so I was home a lot. And thanks to HBO, my introductions to Barefoot in the Park, which had Richard Thomas and Bess Armstrong.
I knew we'd get back to Barefoot.
I know. And you're welcome. And Barbara Barry was the mother. There was also Bus Stop. There was a version of Bus Stop with Margot Kidder and Tim Matheson.
I remember that.
Pat Hengel was in it. Barry Corbin. Intriguing. And what else? Separate Tables, the 50s, 50s drama. I remember seeing Frank Langella as Sherlock Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
Plaza Suite. I saw Jerry Orbach and Lee Grant.
Wow.
In Plaza Suite. And these were really cool productions, of course. And I think you can – I did Barefoot in the Park last year at Richmond Civic, and I know there was a version of the HBO production on YouTube if you decide to go that
That's
route.
A great show.
So fun show. Yeah. Fun show. But anyway, so that's kind of
this
cool.
is nothing like that
no,
show.
No, no, no. Southern Baptist, nothing like that at all. So you've been warned and you've been told. So there's that.
But if you want to see a really high-quality independent film that's really done on a pretty low budget, you know, and you get a chance to check it out, you know, and if you can't see it live, watch for the DVD because it will be out on DVD.
Very good. So, and Ron Spencer, salute.
Amen.
So now we said it was a thin week in movies in the theaters. It's even thinner on DVD and Blu-ray. I'm intrigued because the big title to come out this week was not a movie, but it's, I guess, season 3 of Game of Thrones.
With Kit Harington, apparently.
Yep.
Taking time off of Pompeii. this was his break, if you think about it. You know, he took a break from Game of Thrones to make Pompeii.
Wow.
Like Clint Eastwood took a break from Rawhide to make A Fistful of Dollars. Not even close. So I'm intrigued if this has happened before. I can't remember if this has happened before, where a TV series
has
eclipses
been
everything else. Because there's one new title, according to my sources, the website I look at, and then there's three old titles of note. But the only new title that's up this week was an independent comedy called Afternoon Delight. No, it is not about Starland Vocal Band.
Which is a shame, because I've always wondered about their history.
Best New Artist Grammy for that group.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Wow.
Yeah, well, so the whole bashing on the Grammys don't mean anything? That's been around a long time. But this was a film, and I remember this was this happens every now and then in the critic circles. We will get screeners. We appreciate the screeners.
We love the screeners.
And we get the screeners, and then the film never shows up. It never comes to theaters. This was one of these. And it's a story of a husband and wife, and the marriage is a little stale, and she goes to a therapist played by Jane Lynch, who's actually one of the highlights of the film, and the wife, gets an idea of taking advice from a stripper played by, what's her name, the daughter of Julian Temple. She was the girl in Killer Joe.
Oh, okay.
That girl. So, not that girl, but that girl. And
not Marlo Thomas.
That's a TV reference from the...
Okay.
For Emma, that's Rachel's mom. Point of reference. Marlo Thomas, not the Temple girl. But not only does the wife take advice from the stripper, but she winds up staying in their guest room. Okay, folks.
Nobody, that would make me happy. No,
that would make you happy, but you don't have a wife to deal with.
Or a stripper.
It's not a good idea. Not a good idea to bring a stripper home in the guest room. Just saying.
That's why I bought a 3-bedroom house.
Good luck with that. And the film itself would have probably been a lot more interesting if it was released in 1990. Maybe a little more edgier.
A little
if it was
edgier.
20 years ago. So nothing to really write home about. But it was just one of those. I'm like, it's still on the watch pile. It hasn't come here yet. So. You don't want to see
apparently
my,
it's not going to.
Yeah, you don't want to see my film filing system at the Soucy House. Nobody really wants to see that ever. Criterion has two titles out.
Really?
Alfred Hitchcock's Foreign Correspondent, which is one of his political thrillers that is not the 10th choice, maybe not the 20th choice when you think of Alfred Hitchcock, but it's one of his early pictures. I think it was his first? No, I think it was the film he did after Rebecca. So, I think if I remember right, title character who gets into a web of intrigue and Hitchcockian things happen.
I haven't seen it in a long time.
So that is out. Also out, And I was surprised. I was kind of happy that this came out on Criterion, even though I already own the Blu-ray and there's quite a bit.
Grown-ups.
No. Stop that. No, it's the
fantastic. Dennis Dugan deserves the Criterion treatment.
You know what? If it's an April Fool, actually, that might be coming. I hate to admit this. I'll get to the Criterion label. but I fell for an April Fool joke by Criterion last year.
Really?
They did. Because if you go to the Criterion's website, they have the now available, and then they have the coming soon. Mm-hmm. And if you know Criterion's, the artwork, the cover art for it is really cool. Sometimes it stills from the movies that they change up a little bit. Sometimes it's drawings. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's paintings. And it really kind of reflects the movie. Well, I was going through one time. Now, of course, Criterion's also been known. They've done RoboCop, the original RoboCop. They did The Rock. They did Armageddon. You know,
I'm sorry.
I know. So they've done a couple things that make people go, why? And I was scrolling down last year, and I didn't even notice. It didn't even come across me that it was the release date was April 1st. But it was a kid's drawing movie cover for what was supposed to be a Criterion release of Kindergarten Cop.
Wow!
I fell for that. So way to go!
Did you
Criterion.
Announce it on the air?
No, I did write about it on Facebook, and Chris Lloyd, bless his soul, said check the release date. So yeah, I went on social media and was an idiot more than usual. So yeah,
that's pretty cool.
I fell for it. So you know what? So now look out for it.
And also on April Fool's Day,
yes,
I've not witnessed it, but I've heard about it happening. But a cable network, I think it's Cartoon Network actually, airs The Room.
Yeah, we're gonna have to look out. We're gonna have to look out for that.
So check your local
check your local listings
in like a month and a half.
Okay, so the other Criterion title out, the Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Wow,
and now it makes sense because Criterion.
I would not have interrupted that if I'd known that.
Well, I didn't want to make you look bad. Now that I have,
oh well.
I don't mean to offend you,
but you're offensive. No. Yeah.
Didn't want to make you look bad, but
hi Richard. But no, I know Criterion has released almost all of, not almost, yeah, I don't think they've done Bottle Rocket. At least, no, maybe they have. But they might have done the entire Wes Anderson catalog.
His new film's coming out soon, too.
I know, I'm really looking
I'm
forward
pumped
to that.
About that.
Yes, so, but, okay. But there is a very thorough, filled Blu-ray of Fantastic Mr. Fox, so I'm wondering, I'm hoping, I'm guessing that there will be new features on it. This is one of those
That's
things
amazing.
I don't know if I want to buy this a second time. I love the film. It's a lot of fun. This is one film that people who even don't like Wes Anderson, they'll like this.
I agree.
Because it does have the kind of dry humor and the cool visuals. Mm-hmm. I mean, his
and even people who don't like animation I think we'll like this film.
Fun voiceover work by George Clooney, Meryl Streep, Jason Schwartzman, Bill Murray, Willem Dafoe, most of the regulars there. Yeah. Anyway, it is a lot of fun based on the Roald Dahl book. Yes. So, anyways, double check. Go to Criterion. Double check as far as the features. I think I'll do this when I get home. Is get my Blu-ray and put it up to the screen and see. Okay, does it have that? Yeah, it has that. Does it have this? Yeah, it has this. Oh, that's new.
I have to buy it.
I want a lot of those. Those two. Because if I have to own two copies of the same film, I don't know.
Really?
Maybe. We'll have to see. It's one of those things.
We don't get screeners from them.
No, we don't. Criterion, call us.
We love you.
Yeah. I'm sure they've never heard that before. All right. Time to go into the archives. We haven't been in the archives in a couple of weeks. This is where these are movies that are available online, and you can't buy them in stores. People like Warner Brothers and MGM and Sony and occasionally Paramount, or as Kobe likes to put it.
I'll burn it for like $5.
That's how Kobe got through college. Yeah, you were the very popular guy. If you were the guy with the burner.
Yeah.
So, hey, man, I got the new Metallica album. Would you make a copy for my roommate so he quit borrowing mine? We don't endorse that. Just tell them what it is.
Don't make industry killing MP3s.
Yeah,
buy it for yourself.
And don't have Lars Ulrich yell at you.
Just stay away from Metallica.
So, he was great with The Real Girl, though.
Lars and the Real Girl?
Oh, jeez. Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow. Have you seen Lars and the Real Girl?
No, I've not.
It's really good.
It's a really good film.
It is an early, well, not early in his career, but Ryan Gosling, who puts in a great performance, especially when you're doing a film which on paper
that
sounds
just a couple years ago.
No, it's a while back. But it's a man, of course, who has a relationship with a female blow-up doll. And part of the reason why I think the main reason why that film works is because of Ryan Gosling.
Actually, no, I take it back. I have seen this. Me and Bianca watched this on Netflix. It was on Netflix.
Excellent. Were you guys like? Did you like it?
I can't remember. It's been a while.
I'm going to check in with Bianca about that one. Because on paper, by the way, whoever picked that out of you two, way to go.
But it played the Heartland Film Festival.
It did, exactly. So, I mean, it was not a wink, not a smirk. He played it totally straight.
It sounds like a gimmick, but it's not.
It is not. Absolutely not. So... But we're not talking about that. We're talking from 1944, a 1944 Technicolor epic from King Vidor called An American Romance. And this is one, I just came across it. And it stars Brian Donlevy and Ann Richards,
the Texas?
No, not that Ann Richards.
Okay.
No, just checking. No, this is a – and, of course, King Vidor did films like the 1930 version of Billy the Kid, Stella Dallas, The Fountainhead, Duel in the Sun, and it's a sweeping epic about Americana. Brian plays an immigrant, a Czech immigrant entering the United States, and he winds up working in the iron mines of Minnesota. And then there's a huge – it's very important and very
earnest. Iron mines in Minnesota?
Well, apparently they did.
Okay.
But he walks from – Ellis Island to Minnesota because there's a huge montage showing so. And
movies never lie.
No, and of course, well, and these these are the iron mines with the caps, and they have the candles
I love
on the caps.
I've always wanted one.
Yeah. And then it feels like at times it's a documentary or an infomercial about mining and then later steel making and then auto making, the auto industry. And then you meet a girl and you get married and you have a family and the kid grows up and he wants to go to war because it's mom and apple pie. And I mean, it's very, very important stuff here. And it's incredibly dated, but it's from 1944. So, Kobe, next time you gripe about the 1970s, watch a film from the 40s. Because I remember he did that. He goes, he watched a film from the 50s and went, I want to watch a film from the 70s now, comparison. So, different time. But, yeah, there's like a huge montage about how a car is made. It almost feels like an industrial film that Mystery Science Theater would make fun of. But it's from King Vidor, so there you go. 1944. 40s, Kobe?
Totally different.
Totally different time.
Well, you got to figure that was also during the war.
Yeah, I think a part of it was that as well. It was kind of jumping on the Americana bandwagon there.
Yeah.
So there's that. But yeah, it could have been a little shorter.
And so Kobe's giving you the peace sign. Yeah, figure.
And wait till he gives me half a peace sign. And guess what? There's also the circumstance where it's 1918. It's his son's graduation, and he not only does he announce it after graduation that he wants to enlist, but the sister wants to get married. That's a lot going on graduation day.
That's more than most.
You know what it is? Yeah. That's a lot of plot things, Kobe.
That's so many plot things. Plot things, character things.
Sometimes they happen together.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to film sociology. So, Richard, once more, plug your blogs, and we'll get out of here.
My blogs, theindependentcritic.com and thegimpgoshopping.com.
And you should really follow Richard on social media. It's fun. Kobe?
Yeah.
How about some words? Do we have words to live by under the circumstances?
Final words,
all right. Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
So, until next time, go see Barefoot. Hang out with Richard. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD To The Point and WFYI.org. Don't be hating on Canada. Good night, Fort Myers. I'm sorry, that's your bit. Go Pistons. God help me.
Good night, Fort Myers. Good night, California.
Go see Born Yesterday.
Next week.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
And then the week after that.
Yep.
Terrible.